You are listening to the 1440 podcast. 1440 is the youth ministry of Eagle Mountain Church in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information and for more resources, visit 1440.com.
Take out your Bible, and I want you to open it to 3 John.
Wow!
It's like somebody gonna preach out of 3 John. This is serious. So this series is called Soul Health. Last week, Commander Kelly started us off, and I thought she did a phenomenal job at bringing out some things that we really need to be aware of. But the biggest thing, two things that she said that I thought were just over the top. The first one was the fact that your soul is sometimes like the San Andreas Fault. In that we don't talk about soul health a whole lot. And sometimes you don't even talk about your soul. Like, you don't realize the role that your soul plays until it's too late. And stuff starts shifting and moving. And whenever your soul starts to quake and shift and move, everything that you've built is subject to be toppled because of the critical role that your soul plays in your overall health. The second thing that she brought out that I thought was amazing is we need to consciously make a decision to be open to allow God to do a work in our souls. Because most of the time, when we talk about, or when we preach and teach in church, we do a really good job at preaching to you and teaching you about your spirit, right? You got to get your spirit right. You need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and get right in your spirit. We disciple you heavily in the place of the spirit. And we do a really good job at teaching you about your flesh, right? Bringing your flesh into submission, not listening to your flesh, not letting your flesh lead. Everybody in here, no, I don't think anybody will ever walk up to me and be like, "Hey, Pastor John, what's going on? You know, I had a really fleshy weekend." I mean, the flesh was off the chain. You know, you wouldn't say that, right? Because you know better. You know not to give your flesh that place. Let me ask you this. How much do you know about your soul? What do you know about your soul? I mean, some people, you may know some stuff, right? Like that your soul is made up of your mind, will, and your emotions. Some people are like, "I didn't even know that," right? But how does your soul operate? How do you keep your soul healthy? How do you cleanse your soul? What role does your soul play in your overall salvation? Is God concerned about what happens to you in the area of your soul? See, those are the questions that people are like, about. But I will tell you this, because we are so ignorant of things of the soul, we have the problems that we have. Majority of the problems that I counsel young people concerning have very little to do with their spirit. Most of the people that I counsel are saved. Okay? They've had a spiritual rebirth. And it has very little to do with their flesh. Now, it may play out in their flesh. It may manifest in their flesh. But most of the people that I talk to and most of the people that I counsel are not looking at me going, "You know what? I just want to live a sinful life. That's just how I roll." Very few people say that. Now, there are some. And that's why I have somebody else in my office so that I don't, like, hit them in the jaw. I would hit him in the jaw in the first place. But majority of the stuff that we deal with comes out of the arena of the soul. It comes from mind, will, and oh my God, emotions. That's where majority of the stuff that we deal with comes from. And I would venture to say this, most of the stuff that you find yourself doing in the physical, like in the flesh, had its genesis somewhere in your soul. All of it, to be honest with you, because everything that you do, every action you take starts with a thought. And your thought starts in your mind. And your mind is a part of your soul. So we can try to get the flesh right. And we can definitely get our spirit right. But what happens if we don't get our soul right? Some of you sitting in here looking at me right now, some of you are like, I really want to be anywhere but here. Others of you are like, I really don't want to be listening to this. Some of you are like, I know I should be listening to this, but it's painful to listen to this. Some of you are like, I'm bored and this is boring. I enjoyed taking selfies, but when that was over with, I checked out. Right? Some of you are sitting in here and you are like 2 seconds from crying. Why? Well, fill in the blank. You had an emotional day, some things happened to you, some stuff went down, some stuff I don't know about, some stuff nobody knows about, some stuff that you're like, if you only knew. But everything that I just named has to do with soul health. Whether you feel connected in 1440. Do you have friends in 1440? Do you have friends, period? Do you communicate with your family? Do you talk to your mom? Do you talk to your dad? Do y'all have conversation or do you have yelling matches? Or do they talk and you just absolutely tune them out or pretend that you're listening? Are you totally, absolutely dumbfounded by a boy or totally, absolutely dumbfounded by a girl? Is that driving your thought? What's dominating your thought process? What's dominating your meditations? The Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's got to do with your soul. That has everything to do with your soul. And so tonight, I want to do an introduction to this series. But tonight, I want to introduce you to your soul. Now, Mercy, I'm not picking on you. I know you're going to hear this and be like, he just called me out. I'm not picking on you. Go to the bathroom. But I will tell you this. We're not in Super Kids. And what we're about to talk about may make you feel a little uncomfortable over the next several weeks. Over the next several weeks. I will tell you this, you need to be here. You need to be here. If you thought it was important for you to hear a salvation message and you thought it was important for you to hear a baptism in the Holy Spirit message, I would venture to say that this is the third most important message that I have ever preached in my life and that you need to hear. Because I believe this by the unction of the Holy Spirit, that if we can get this right, we can step over into truly being the youth revival capital of the world. See, youth revival capital of the world does not mean we have a big youth group. Youth revival capital of the world means where are there teenagers who have no, who don't look like what the world says a teenager should look like? Where are there teenagers who communicate with their parents? Where are there teenagers who have healthy home relationships? Where are there teenagers who have healthy boy-girl relationships? Who know what it is to honor God in their dating, or whether you choose to date or not, according to your parents, when your mom and your dad don't have to look at you and you're dating and go, don't do that, I can't stand him. I'm gonna tell you this, most parents are not against their children dating. Most parents are against their children making the decisions about who they date. That's a whole nother sermon, y'all. I'm just saying. I don't know where your parents fall in the dating line, but I can tell you right now, if you let the Lord lead you and guide you into who you have romantic relationships with, you will not have mom and daddy issues. Amen. And if you have mom and daddy issues after the Lord has led you and guided you into the person that you need to, that you are having a romantic relationship with, then the Lord will take care of the issue. Because it's his chosen man and it's his chosen woman. Okay, So I wanna caution you, everybody in here who's gotta like go to the bathroom right now is gonna be like, I can't believe he just said that. All right. So I wanna caution you. You wanna be here, but you also wanna be present. That means that we're not in Super Kids, you can hold it. Our entire service only runs from 7 to 8:30. I know, exactly. I have seen y'all hold it for an hour and a half, okay? If we were playing video games, some of you dudes would just be like, I don't even care. You're going to want to hear this. Not only are you going to want to hear this, but you're going to want to take notes. And not only are you going to want to take notes, but you're going to want to make sure that you digest this. 3 John chapter 1, there's only one chapter anyway. Verse 2 says this, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Say the truth. We're going to solve that one really, 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 really fast. Because if you attend this youth group, you ought to know what the truth is. All right. The Amplified Bible says this, Beloved, I pray that in every way, say in every way, you may succeed and prosper and be in good health physically, just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. For I was greatly pleased when some of the brothers came from time to time and testified of your faithfulness to the truth of the gospel message. That's important. If you have an Amplified Bible, make sure you underline that. The truth of the gospel message. That is how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my spiritual children are living their lives in the truth. The Message Bible is interesting. It says this, the pastor, it qualifies who's writing. He's a pastor. This is John writing, but he qualifies himself as the pastor. Now, the word pastor there literally means caretaker or the person who takes care of. He identifies himself in the office of the pastor. And so this message that he's writing is to care for his beloved friend, to pastor him just like I pastor you. Now watch this. To my good friend, Gaius, when two vowels go walking, the first one does the talking. Gaius, how truly I love you. We're the best of friends. And I pray for good fortune in everything you do and for good health, that your everyday affairs prosper as well as your soul. I was most happy when some friends arrived and brought the news that you persist in following the way of truth. Nothing could make me happier than getting reports that my children continue diligently in the way of truth. Now, we need to settle this whole truth question, because apparently this dude Gaius is really awesome at following the way of truth. He's really awesome at following the way of truth. And the pastor thinks he's so awesome at following the way of truth that his salutation has everything to do with the fact that he lives according to the truth. Now, this is going to become important in about 45 seconds. John chapter 1, verse 14. You don't have to turn there, but John chapter 1, verse 14 says this. Well, in John chapter 1 says, In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. So we understand that part, right? Now watch this. Verse 12. But as many received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the truth that we're talking about is the truth that is in Jesus. Need more proof? Look at verse 16. And of his fullness, we have all received, and grace for grace, For the law was given through through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So when John is saying, I rejoice that you follow after the way of truth, he's saying, I rejoice that you follow after the way of the gospel, after the way of Jesus. And I'm praying for you that you prosper and be in health and that your soul prospers. Why? Because I know that it's going to come to pass because of who you follow. Because of the way you live, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you act. It's evident. The brethren have seen the light of Jesus coming out of you. Here's the deal. When we're talking about soul health, if Jesus is in you, the truth is in you, then there's already the seed of what needs to happen for you to cleanse your soul. So we need to just start this off out the gate before we even talk about what the soul is, to help you understand that if you hear something that makes you go, man, that's me, or I don't know how to stop that, or how am I ever going to take care of that? You don't have to, baby. Jesus did. The truth has already made you free. Okay? Now, in order for you to take that freedom and let that freedom go into every portion of your being, you need to know what every portion of your being is, right? You can't send a maid to your house and say, clean out my house, but you don't even know what's in your house or where the rooms are. And all the doors are all locked. And the maid's like, I don't clean closets. I can't tell the difference between a closet and a bedroom in your house. All the doors are locked. That's most of the time what we do. We say, Jesus, come into my heart. But Jesus shows up and they're locked doors. And so he can only come into parts that you let him in. We'll deal with that another day. I can see y'all ain't ready yet. Are y'all sleepy? You sure? Is it less effective? The fact that I'm not walking up and down the aisles and I'm like, I want to make sure I teach you this, right? I'm trying not to get too preachy. Trust me, it's hard for me to sit here. It was not just the method of the state of being of Gaius, but also the way to prosper. The truth is the way to prosper. Now, what does he say that you should prosper in? I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Well, we know what being health means, right? Like, we know what it is to have physical health, but he says that I would that you do that just as your soul prospers. Here's the thing about that word just as. It means even as or while or to the degree that. What if I told you your body could only be as well as your soul? And your soul can only be as well as your body. There's an inverse relationship. See, you're supposed to be a steward of your body, but you're also supposed to be a steward of your soul. What you're going to learn is that God wants you whole. He wants you whole. He does not want you spiritually well, but in your soul, you're going through hell. He does not want you well in your flesh, and in your soul, you're being tormented. He does not want you to be happy and have fake soul wellness and to be healthy, but in your spirit, you're emaciated. That's not what God wants. He wants you to be whole, and we're going to talk about that in a second. Now, here are the questions that we're going to answer. Before we get to the questions, just like God has three parts, he's a triune God, you have three parts. You're a triune man. When God said, let us create man in our image and in our likeness, he has three parts. What are the three parts of God? He's a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, somebody's going to have to talk to me. Y'all done forgot who I am. Ready? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, you are a triune person. You have a spirit, or you are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. There are three parts to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24 says this. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. We're going to get into that later, what completely means. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body. Look at that. He identifies all three of your parts. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful also who also will do it. Look at the message. I like this in the message. May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole. Say holy.
Holy.
Say whole.
Whole.
You see what God does? That there's an indication, there's a hint right there that you can use to tell whether or not something is from God. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. Some of y'all stuck on boyfriends and girlfriends like, well, God wouldn't have let me ever meet him if I, uh-uh. Some of that stuff didn't come from God. What God gives you is perfect, good, holy, and whole. See, I told you, we're going to get into your soul. We are going to get into your soul. We are going to get into your soul, whether I got to get in there with a key or with a crowbar, baby. We get in there. All right? Look at what it says. May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. Put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he will do it. The part of that scripture, if you're not careful, that you'll miss is the part that says, make you complete or keep you fit for the coming of our master, Jesus Christ. See, Jesus is coming back for a bride, and he's coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such defect. Here's the thing. If you are spiritually ready and you are physically ready, but in your soul, you still got some getting ready to do, you're not without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. And that's the church as a whole. The church as a whole, we have very good IQ, intellectual quotient. We're real smart. We have very good SQ, spiritual quotient. We can sense the moving of the Holy Ghost, but we have very low EQ, emotional quotient. And if we're going to raise a generation of people who are going to take over the church, we need to raise a generation of people who are just as healthy in their soul as they are in their spirit and in their body. Leviticus chapter 11. See, I took you back to the Old Testament now. This is important that you get this part. Leviticus chapter 11, look at verse 44. It says this, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves. You see that verse in Thessalonians? It says, make you holy. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Now remember over here in the Message Bible in that verse in Thessalonians, it says this, the one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. So if he called you to be holy, he will make you holy. Look at verse 45. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt. That's slavery. That's bondage. How many people do you know are in slavery and bondage over their emotions, over their mind, over their will? That's not God's intention. His intention is holistic health, spirit, soul, and body. And he says, to be your God, you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. He made you just like him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says the exact same thing. You want to put that up there on the screen? I can see it back there. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. There's a calling on your life. I don't know if you're called to the fivefold ministry. I don't know if you've been given some unique gift and you're called to use that, but I do know this, you're called to be holy. You're called to be holy. You're called to be holy. And if there's anything in your life that is unholy, it is outside of your calling. That'll make the hair stand up on the end. I didn't expect very many amens. I figured I'd get some from the parent section, but I didn't expect very many amens. Because most of you would look at your life and go, well, my life ain't holy. Guess what? That stuff don't belong. That stuff don't belong. See, a lot of times we have a tolerate mentality. Well, you know, everybody goes through this, so I'm just going to tolerate it. No. No, you're called to be holy. Being holy means being whole in every part of your being. He is the God of peace, the God of shalom, which means nothing missing, nothing broken, everything whole, spirit, soul, and body. During our last series, we learned that victory or overcoming is the Greek word Nike. In the classical Greek, Nike is used to indicate winning as in a military battle, athletic contest, or social issues, social causes. The word also means to vanquish the opposition in order to succeed and indicates victory concerning human emotions, passion, and misery, or victory in the area of your soul. That's why we did Red Letters Win before we got to soul health. Because you need to realize that you can win in your soul. Now, what is your soul and why is it so important? Your soul, sometimes referred to your heart, as your heart, has three parts: mind, will, and emotions. Say it with me. Say mind, will, and emotions. Say mind, will, and emotions. Say mind, will, and emotions. See, a lot of times when we talk to you about your emotions, we talk about them as though they're evil. Stop being so emotional. You so emotional. Get your emotions under control. Here's the deal. God put them there. They're not evil. They're not evil. As a matter of fact, God would have you use your emotions. Isn't it crazy that you can use your emotions, but most of the time we spend our life being used by our emotions? Isn't it nuts that you can use your mind, but most of the time you spend your life being used by your mind? I can't get this thought out of my head. I can't get this thought out of my head. I can't get this thought out of my head. I'm going to tell you a very subtle way of being used by your mind. How many people have ever had a song in your head and it got stuck there and you couldn't get it out? Glory to God. Now I'm going to ask you another question. You better be as bold at raising your hand. How many of you have ever had a song stuck in your head that ought not been there in the first place? See, Satan is crafty. Satan is crafty. And whenever you let Satan in, what Satan will do is he will use what's being seen and what's being heard to cater to your soul. Have you ever listened to a song and it gave you an emotional feeling? Have you ever listened to a song and it made you happy? Or it made you sad? Or it made you cry? Or it made you angry, it made you frustrated, or maybe the artist who wrote the song is saying exactly how you feel right at that moment. I don't like them anyway. I don't like them anyway. Or maybe you're feeling real prideful. It's all about me, baby. Now watch me whip. And watch me nay nay. Okay, you know what I'm saying? What does the song say? Now watch me. Ooh, watch me. Watch me. Ooh, watch me. Watch me. Ooh, look at me. Look at me. Ooh, it's me. It's me. All eyes on you. Well, if everybody's staring straight at you, they can't see God. Hey, Lord. Because you're not exemplifying God in that moment. I'm going to leave y'all alone. Glory to God. All right, now listen. The Greek word for soul. Somebody done played the song. Listen, the Greek word for soul is a word that sounds really, 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 really funny. All right? It's the word suchi. Suchi. You laughing now, but wait till I tell you what suchi means. So when the Bible says, I would that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul, even as your suchi prospers, watch this. It means your life, your mind, your heart, your person, yourself. It denotes the inner essence of the being of a human being, the human ego, or your self-esteem, or your how you view yourself. Have you ever heard someone say your ego got bruised or your ego got broken? That has everything to do with your perception of who you are. So when John wrote, I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, what he was saying is, I would that your ego prosper. Since you walk in the truth of who you are in Christ. Since you walk in the truth of your emotions. I would that you never have an emotional breakdown. See, that's what it means to be the youth revival capital of the world. To have revival in every portion of your body, which means that we don't have emotional breakdowns. We don't have outbursts of rage and anger. We don't get angry when someone asks us to do something or someone says something either to us or about us. Why? Because their opinion, if it's not God's opinion, doesn't matter in the first place. You'll know that you've prospered in your soul when someone can stand in front of you and dog you. And you go, glory to God. That's soul prospering. That's soul health. That's soul health. The soul is the seat of human. Now, you want to make sure you pay attention to this. And if you're writing, if you're taking notes, you're going to want to write these down. The soul is the seat of human consciousness. It's where intellectual and mental process takes place. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. The finding him, the seeking him, the looking at him, looking for him is an intellectual process. But you only find God when you engage your heart and soul. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. I'm sorry, chapter 26, verse 16. This day the Lord your God commands you to observe. Look at that. How do you observe? That's your mental process. Commands that you observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore, you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. The soul... Write this one down. The soul is the site of your emotions. Now I have scripture for each and every one of the ones that I'm about to list off for you, but these are just a few. Fear, anger, wrath, sorrow, uncertainty, faint-heartedness, joy, and love all come from the place of your soul. All come from the place of your soul. Check this out. John chapter 10, verse 24. The Pharisees are surrounding Jesus. Says, then the Jews surround him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. The Hebrew there actually says this. How long will you keep our soul waiting? Doubt comes from the soul. I'm also going to show you that faith resides in your soul. It comes from your spirit, but faith manifests in your heart. That was hard. I'm telling you, I learned some stuff. I was studying this stuff out, man. I learned some stuff. I'm like, Lord, I want to use my faith. And I've been stopping myself from getting into my emotions when I'm using my faith. I don't want to feel it. I just want to faith it. I ain't gonna react emotionally. I'm just gonna faith it. Like faith is lifting weights. Well, it is to a certain degree, but God gave you your feeler. Now, we're not led by our feeler, but the most important things in us manifest themselves in our soul. So if faith is one of the most important things in you, it's supposed to manifest in your soul. Don't worry about it. I'm not just talking off the top of my head. I'm going to show you that in scripture. The soul is the site of your will. The expression of your desires, choice, willingness, consent, and refusal. Think about it like this: willpower. What does it mean to have willpower? Well, it means I can say no to that cookie. Jesus. I can say no to that piece of cake. Ooh, Lord. If you don't have a smoking addiction, it's easy for you to say no to a cigarette. That comes out of your soul real easy. But if you are a teenage boy, it's hard for you to say no to a flirtatious girl. I'm just going to tell you, that comes out of your soul. Some of y'all look at me like I'm crazy. I'm telling you the truth. Soul health solves that problem. Soul health. See, we don't talk about this, young people. We don't talk about this. We don't explore this one. We just tell you, go out and don't have premarital sex. There's a how. There's a how. It's called soul health. We just go out and tell you don't date people who aren't Christian. There's a how. It's called soul health. We tell you don't go out and get addicted to drugs now. Don't go out and get addicted to drugs. There's a how. It's called soul health. There's not one person in the world that started off going, you know what? I'm about to go be a crackhead right now. What happened? Something fed their soul. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21. Then he spoke a parable saying to them, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, watch the mind, watch the will at work here. He thought within himself saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all of my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night. I know, right? That's a slap in the face. When God calls you a fool, you probably ought to pay attention, right? But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then whose will these things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Did it say don't be rich? No, it said don't be rich and not rich toward God. Matthew 6, 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, we transition here because we're talking about money, right? And we're talking about the soul. Well, another word for the soul in the Bible is the heart. That Greek word there is cardia. It's where you get the word cardiac, right? Like cardiac arrest or cardiac unit, okay? But over the years, in classic Greek and in the New Testament Greek, when New Testament writers use the word cardia, you got to be real careful because there are some places where things will say something like, do something with your soul, or rather, do something in your heart, and it's actually indicating your spirit. Because to Greek writers, the heart was the center of anything. Okay? So it's actually indicating your spirit. You got to go back and do some study in the Greek to find out which heart we're talking about. We're going to talk about the cardia heart and watch what cardia actually means. Heart and mind. It's the source of human emotions, intellect, will, anger, passion, joy, etc. So New Testament writers would have used soul and cardia interchangeably depending on the situation. But they mean the same thing. It indicates your soul. Another word that came to be used for the soul. The heart is the site of spiritual change. You won't want to write that down. While you're writing that down, put Romans chapter 10, verse 9 up there. that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your, that word heart there is not the word heart that means spirit. That word heart there is the word heart, cardia, which indicates your soul. It happens so fast that it's crazy, but watch this. When you say Jesus is Lord, when you say Jesus come into my, where do you tell him to come into? Huh, interesting. Because your spirit has never been dead, nor will it ever die. Your spirit has never been dead, nor will it ever die. God put your spirit there. God said, let us create man after our own image. Does God die? So when God breathed in you, he breathed the breath of life. The pneuma, the spirit came into you. His spirit came into you. And when his spirit came into you, he infused you with something that is eternal. The unbeliever has a spirit, but they have an emaciated spirit. You ought to listen to Brother Copeland teach this. They have an emaciated spirit, which means that that spirit hasn't been fed. But when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you say Jesus is Lord, immediately your spirit comes to life. Now, if your spirit immediately comes to life, what needs the most attention? Because your spirit identifies after God's spirit. That's why Paul would write, our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are sons of God. So what immediately needs attention? Your soul. Your heart. Your heart. Your heart. Why do you think the word breathes faith? Jesus said, my word is spirit and it is life. So when you hear the word of God preached, it does something with you. It connects in a way with your spirit that it was meant to connect that way eternally. Like from the beginning of time, you hear the word of God preached and something goes inside of you and goes, man, I don't know if this is true, but Lord have mercy. I hope it's true because I want some of that. That's the connection of your spirit and the word, which is spirit. But the word connects, which is spirit, and your spirit identifies, bears witness with his spirit, and you say, that's my daddy. That's Abba, by which we cry, Abba, Father. That's what I was created to be. That's who I was created to be. That's how I was created to live. That's what I was created to be ruled by. But look at what he teaches. He says, with the heart, one believes. That word's cardia. So you have to be really careful. See, God is so strategic. He does not want you to grow disproportionately. He would that you would grow holistically. So when you got saved and your spirit came alive, his intention was for your spirit to come alive, your soul to come alive, and the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also quicken your mortal body and make alive your flesh. I'm gonna amen myself over that. Look at what happens. Our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are sons and daughters of the living God. That's my spiritual health. And then with the heart one believes, and with the mouth I make confession, there's my soul health. And the same spirit that brought my spirit to life and that brought my spirit back and fed my spirit, and the same spirit that I believe with my heart, with my soul, made alive my soul. And now the same spirit that I believe with my spirit and believe with my soul is going to make alive my body. That's why John wrote, I would that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, because I know you walk in the truth. I know your spiritual health. I know who you are in the spirit because you're one of my spiritual children. You walk after the truth. You live according to the truth. So I know what's going on in your spirit. So now my salutation to you is that the same thing that's happening in your spirit will also happen in your soul and in your body. Why? because it's all by the same God. It's all done by the same God. The nature of the heart is the true nature of man. Luke 16:15. Put that up there. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your..." That's cardia. "For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." I have an even better scripture for that. I have an even better scripture to show you that God is more concerned about your heart. He's concerned about your soul. He's concerned about your soul. David was a man after God's own heart. So when David gets anointed king, Samuel goes to Jesse's house and says, "Bring me all your sons." And he brings him all the good looking ones that have been in the house doing all the jobs that all the good boys are supposed to do. And Samuel says, "Not nan one of these jokers is it. Do you have any more?" And he said, "You know what? I do, but it's he tends the sheep. There's no way you want him. You think you got a hard time. What if your daddy sent you away for days on end to go tend the sheep? And when the man came looking for the king, daddy brought in everybody but you." Look, he's coming to anoint somebody king, but son, you just stay out there in the field with them sheep because it can't be you. There's no way. Just back on up. There's no way it's you. There's no way it's you. Okay? No way. It is glory. There's no way it's you. And watch what he says. Samuel says, "We won't sit down till you bring him. We won't sit down till you bring him." Why? He said, God told Samuel, "You're looking at the outward appearance. God looks at the..." Yeah, Lord! Glory to God, because if God had looked at my outward appearance, he would have thought I was jacked up, broke, busted, and disgusted. But when I can believe with my heart, get my heart right, when my soul is right, that pleases God. That'll please God. You want to be pleasing to God? It ain't got nothing to do with what you do and how you do it. It's got everything to do with your heart, because out of the abundance of your heart, you'll do the thing. It has to do with your soul. Musicians, you can come on back. Write this down. The heart is all, you're going to have to write while they're walking. You're going to be okay. The heart is also the site of evil thoughts. You didn't know I was going to say that one, did you? You thought, surely he's wrapping up. We're going to be all good now. We on the downslide. Nope. You need to know this. The heart is the site of evil thoughts. And it uses, listen to this. Everybody look at me. I want your eyeballs on me. You can write it down in just a minute. The heart is the site of evil thoughts, and it uses the body to realize its wicked intentions. The heart is the site of evil thoughts, evil meditations, and it uses your body. It will use your body. It will use your body. You want to take care of the sin question? Take care of the heart question. The heart must be cleansed, and the heart is God's principal point of contact. What happens in your spirit manifests in your heart or through the avenue of your soul. And your soul is what communicates to your body. I want you to see the, I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to see the bridge effect. Put Romans chapter 10 up there. Start at verse 8. But what does it say? Put Romans chapter 8, verse 5, starting at verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires sets their what?
Minds.
Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all got to talk loud. Sets their what?
Minds.
On and pursues those things which gratify the flesh. That could just as easily read that those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires sets their soul. Why can we put soul there? Because what is your soul? Your mind, will, and emotions. So sets their soul on and pursues those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit are controlled by the desires of the Spirit and set their soul, their minds, their soul on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now the mind of the flesh, the soul of the flesh, controlled by the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and the hereafter, both here and in hell. Watch what it says. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. Soul shalom. Soul shalom. Soul wholeness. Soul, nothing missing, nothing broken. Look, you got it. I'm gonna run right over there, high five the security guard, and then I'm gonna run over there and I'm gonna high five somebody. You gotta see this because it's the bridge, children. It's the bridge. You've been in Super Kids and you've been learning everything that has to do with your spirit. Glory to God for your spirit. What happened? Where do you lose it? Where do you go from I'm major rich and whatever that, I don't even know how that little part of that song goes, but whatever. Where do you go? How do you get out of I am a super kid, servant and child of the Most High God, Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, I'm filled with His Holy Spirit, I obey His written word. How do you get away from that? You get too old for it, right? And your soul gets a new master. Your spirit never loses sight of it. It's your soul. You need soul shalom. You need soul peace. Because the mind, the soul that is governed by the flesh is death. But the soul that is governed by the Spirit will lead you into everything that is spiritual. You let your soul be governed by the Spirit, and you'll get into a situation, and the first thing that comes out of you is, I am a super kid, servant and child of the Most High God. This is beneath me. People be like, you 24, how you a super kid? You won't even care. You be like, Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. Stand on your feet. Romans 7, if you got a Bible, I'm going to put your eyes on it. Romans chapter 7. You can come and get this. I'm going to need that water in just a minute. You can get that too. Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 14. This is how Paul wrote to the church at Rome about the soul. I want you to hear this. Because everybody knows Romans chapter 8, verse 1, right? There is therefore now no condemnation. You got that part, right? I'm going to show you how he got there. Watch this. For we know that the law is spiritual. But I am carnal, sold under sin. And what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. Look at that will. Look at his will. Look at his will. He's going to show you which side of his soul needs to be more healthy. He's going to show you that when the flesh rules your soul, your will, it'll come out in your members even when you don't want it to. It'll come out in your flesh even when you don't want it to. Watch this. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, I do not practice. But what I hate, I do. How many people in here hate sin? How many people in here have ever found themselves sinning? How did that happen? If you hate it, then how are you doing it? He's going to show you. Watch this. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law and it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. There's a how to soul health. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. He's talking about his spirit. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, warring against the law of my soul, and bringing me into captivity, there's Egypt, to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And so you ask, how do I get my soul healthy? Here's the first answer to that. We're going to have, by the time we're done with this, you're going to have a list of ways to keep your soul healthy. Lists of ways to triage your soul. Lists of things that you can do to get your soul into a healthy position. If you see your soul slipping, we're going to have a list of ways that you can just reach in and grab it back. Here's the first way. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk in Jesus Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. That's where we got verse 5 in the Amplified. For those who are according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires and set their minds, set their souls, and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. That's how you get to soul health. 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 If you're in here and you've ever had me for discipleship at all, and you text me and you say, something's going on or something's wrong or I'm in this fight or something's going on. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I feel so terrible. I just want to end it all and blah, 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 blah. I don't want to be here no more. And I just want to just give up on life and kill me now. What do I normally tell you? Some of y'all are like, I ain't going to answer. Then they're going to know it was me. I tell you, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Why? That's not a cop out. That's not a cop out. That's not a cop out. Because the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, will set your soul right. I can't talk to you enough to get your soul right. You can. when you get into his presence and when you open yourself up. So we're going to practice. Yeah, we're going to practice. I want everybody to come up here. This is an everybody altar call. This is an everybody altar call. Everybody. Come on, move quick, children. Move quick. I'll tell you this. When I was preparing to preach this week, I had to focus on my own soul health. I can't bring a word to you like this and not evaluate myself, figure out where I am, figure out what's going on in me. And what I found is, although I spend time praying in tongues, although I spend time in the Word, when I ask the Lord, Lord, why do I still feel this way about this? Why do I still see this way? Or why is this going on in my soul? He told me, increase the dose. Increase the dose. Increase the dose. Increase the dose. And I found myself over the past few days having to increase the dose. Increase the dose. There are those of you who would say, my dose is already high. I guess I'm going to have to take a whole bottle of praise and worship. I had to take a whole bottle of praying in tongues. And those of you who are like, where do I get that prescription? I ain't got none of that. I'm going to give you a complimentary bottle right now. Just close your eyes. Now, some of y'all, sometimes when I say the words close your eyes, you do everything but. You start looking around. You start. No, this is for you. This is for your health. For your health. For your health. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Don't worry, we got security in the room. Ain't nobody gonna mess you up with your eyes closed. Some of y'all too hard. You're like, I'm a G. I don't never close my eyes. Laughter is good medicine for the soul. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the 1440 podcast. If the Lord has ministered to you in a big way through this time, we want to hear about it. You can email us at testify@1440online.com.